Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. Returning guest on the program with us today is George Glazer. He's the CEO of Western Uranium. George, thanks for coming back on the program. We've had quite a few requests to get you back here.
Pleasure being here, Colin.
Starting top down, a lot of people, investors in the uranium space, frustrated that the uranium price is bouncing along a bottom here and doesn't seem to be getting much of a bid. What can you say from your inside knowledge of the space in terms of what's driving the uranium price and looking out over the next year or two, what you see happening?
Well, I think clearly we're hovering around $20, $21 and not moving up much above that level. There's simply enough supply in the short term to meet the requirements. Supply demand is driving all the pricing of uranium right now. And so I think that might be the case. And you take a look at everybody that looks at the sector, and a lot of them are saying, well, the supply is going to be adequate for a number of years. And, you know, I don't know if that's 2 years or 3 years, but clearly, you know, there's going to be a shortage of uranium by everybody's estimate sometime in the 2022 or in that period of time. So the big question is, does that actually come sooner? And does the price start moving with the expectation? Sooner or later, the utilities have got to start contracting for some of their needs out there. I don't see that happening yet. But once that happens, I think that drives the spot price, even though it may be long-term contracting it. Because utilities are, you know, they realize that nobody can make money at $20. I think that's clear. And at $20 uranium, you know, and the long-term contracts that are in place are running out. The Cameco contracts are running out, and they're not bidding $20 on these new contracts. So the utilities are going to have to up their expectation of what they have to pay. And that will cause the spot price to come up. So I don't know if it's going to be 6 months or a year or 2 years before we see a sustained, you know, substantial increase in uranium price, but it's coming. And the key is companies have got to be ready to go when that hits.
George, thanks in part to Western Uranium's ability to deploy the ablation technology. Western Uranium has been posturing for the last couple of years that you are the probably lowest cost restart to production and also have globally one of the lowest costs of production. I've talked to you and you said probably your break even's between $25 and $30 a pound with nothing else considered. Now, there's also the entire time along been this component of vanadium at the Sunday complex. Vanadium also is amenable to the ablation process, but the vanadium price a lot of people are starting to take note is really on the up and up, and I want to understand what that's doing in terms of changing Western Uranium's direction.
Well, we certainly now are looking at vanadium as being more valuable in our ore than the uranium. If you take a look at the content of the Sunday mine, it's 5 to 6 times richer in the vanadium than it is in uranium. So when vanadium was $5 a pound, we still had the uranium values at even $20 to $25 a pound were higher. Now that's just switched because now you're around $10 a pound for vanadium. And so the ratio of ore, of the content of the ore of uranium and vanadium, changed the economics. So we're seriously looking at being primarily a producer of vanadium with a secondary product of uranium out of the Sunday mine, just because of the economics of it. And we're actually talking to vanadium customers. Now, the big thing with, of course, vanadium, you got a price of $10, around $10 now. How long will that hold? And so by the time you're in production, are we going to see the price drop back down to $5? So the key with vanadium is to tie up a supply contract, and it's not going to be, you know, a 5 or 6 or 10 year contract. It's probably going to be a 2 or 3 year contract. But that gives us the capability of starting the Sunday mine, because at that level, the economics to the Sunday mine seem to work at $10 vanadium and the existing level of uranium prices.
And George, since we're on the point of the Sunday mine and ablation, What's the latest on getting ablation up and going operational at the mine? There's obviously been some concern in regards to the allowance or permission of ablation get going because you are running it for uranium ore.
Right. Well, again, you know, the decision was made that we need a milling license tying ablation to milling. There's an option to do that either through the Pinyon Ridge Mill license or a mill license at the Sunday Mine. Of course, you know, we think that decision was probably not right, so we're in the process of contesting the decision and basically saying ablation is a mining operation, not a milling operation. And that would simplify the process of permitting to put the ablation machines at the mine site. It's not crucial to have them at the mine site, especially when the mines are fairly close to the mill site. We still have substantial savings using ablation. You don't have the savings in your transportation, but you have the savings in your milling cost. So we're pretty still we're very optimistic that the ablation is still the key, and the licensing and the permitting issues, you know, are not going to really prevent us from using ablation and reducing our cost of production.
Western Uranium recently announced an LOI on purchasing the Graysill Vanadium Mine, which is in Colorado. It's reportedly the highest grade vanadium mine in the world. It's running 2.4% vanadium in the veins. I guess we've already talked a little bit about why to continue adding vanadium to the portfolio, but how does this acquisition fit in, and is this another near-term production story?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with a high-grade vanadium mine like that, putting it into the, say, the Sunday Mine mix, we just increased the feed grade of the vanadium going into the mill. And it's a historic mine, has produced in the past, fairly shallow, fairly easy to mine. And so I think that enhances our vanadium resources. Right now, I think we don't report vanadium, but we probably have 30 to 35 million pounds of vanadium in our portfolio now. But you add this, and historically, this is based on some historic data that we're reviewing. They come up with about 20 million pounds that they've drilled, apparently, at that project. And that project's, you know, it's not totally drilled out. So what we want to do is increase our vanadium resource base, because once you get into production, you want to have, you know, 10 to 20-year life of your vanadium mines. And, of course, some of our uranium mines don't contain vanadium. But the ones that do, those are the ones that would go into production first, along with Graysill. So Graysill simply is an economic project that stands on its vanadium values.
Excellent. George, any other acquisitions in and around the area that you're looking at in terms of uranium or vanadium?
Yeah, we're looking at several projects right now, especially the ones that contain the vanadium, because those become economic fairly quickly. We're looking at some uranium acquisitions. We've always got our eye out for these. And again, I think the time for these may be now, when the price of uranium is low, and apparently it will stay low for a while. Once the uranium price starts to move up, so does the prices of all the properties. So we think this is a good time to be looking and making the right type of transactions. And the Graysill, we didn't announce the price of that, but we will, of course, when we close it. But it was a very attractive acquisition price.
Excellent. Well, George, anything else to add for our audience at this point? Obviously, uranium has taken a little bit of a slower move than we would have liked, but Western Uranium is in a very unique position to actually leverage off of the vanadium price, is something that most uranium companies do not have the benefit of having.
Right, and I think that gives us the staying power that uranium companies need. You know, you need to be around for the recovery, and obviously you've got to have cash to do that, and you either get it through, you know, offerings to the public, borrowings, or production. So we hope to, you know, be producing and cash flowing with the vanadium and uranium content rather than constantly going to the market. And I think that's the issue, you know. You don't want to constantly be in the market raising money to survive until the uranium price comes back. If it's 3 or 4 years, a number of companies need a lot of cash to keep the doors open so they can produce to that uranium boom when it comes.
That's right. And what's the timeline looking like for production on these various projects?
Well, you know, we could be in production if we decided to turn the Sunday mine on. If we could obtain a contract even for 2 years of delivery of vanadium, the Sunday mine could be turned on fairly quickly. Now, again, whether we use the ablation machine there or at a mill, that's the other issue. The permitting would take a bit longer if we used it at the mine site. But we could be in production easily and be producing vanadium within a year, assuming we have a contract. But the one thing you don't want to do is turn it on, assuming you're going to get $10 vanadium, and then the market changes, and then you're delivering vanadium at $5. So that's the key. You've got to base load your vanadium production for maybe 2 years to justify turning on.
Sure. Well, George, really appreciate you coming back on the program. Exciting times for your Western Uranium, considering the state of the uranium market right now, and looking forward to seeing advancements made on the vanadium front at both the Sunday Complex and the Graysville Mine. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you, Colin.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people? Hit the bid.
How violent that term could be? It actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on?